Okay, tonight, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 16. Solomon writes, "Moreover, I saw under the sun in the place of judgment or justice, wickedness was there, and in the place of righteousness, iniquity was there. I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there shall be a time there for every purpose and for every work. I said in my heart, concerning the estate of the sons of men, God test them, that they may see that they themselves are like beasts. For what happens to the sons of men also happens to beasts. One thing befalls them, as one dies, so dies the other. Surely they all have one breath. Man has no advantage over beasts, for all is vanity. All go to one place. All are from the dust, and all return to dust. Who knows the spirit of the sons of men, which goes upward, and the spirit of the beast, which goes down to the earth? So I perceive that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his heritage. For who can bring him to see what will happen after him?" Let's pray. Lord, we have sung a song about how you are almighty, the great King, the sovereign Lord. And yet, this is something odious to the world. The world is not desirous of even hearing it. And yet, whether we're desirous of hearing it or not, it is nonetheless the truth. And Lord, not more so today, but just the same. But the emphasis and the contrast seems to be even more noticeable today because of the way men have behaved in this world this past week. So we pray, Lord, for our minds to be stayed upon you, that we might have peace in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible teaches some very basic facts about the world, about men in the world, and that they are confirmed really daily to be true. For example, look at Isaiah 57, verse 20. It says here, "The wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked." So the Bible says that the wicked has no rest. They have no peace. They're like the ocean tide. They're like the waves. They come and go and crash, and they're not ever settled. They're not ever at rest. And how can they be? God says there is no rest because the very basic fabric of rest is missing because they're not right with God. And so there's no rest for the wicked. Ephesians 2, verse 1 and those following, Paul declares to the Ephesians that they were dead in trespasses and sins. So there's no peace, there's no rest for the wicked. And then Paul tells us that the wicked are dead in trespasses and sin. They're not more free in trespasses and sins. They're not farther into life with trespasses and sins. They're dead. Means they are settled in a state of separation from God. And the way it manifests itself is in trespasses and sins. It doesn't bother them necessarily that that's the case, but just the case. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, that the wicked are deceiving and being deceived. That is part of Paul's mention of the fact that things are getting worse. He says in verse 13 of 2 Timothy 3, But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, we don't like that. We don't like to hear it. And certainly the world would not admit to it. But that evil men are getting more and worse. And the things they believe, they are deceived about. And the things that they proclaim deceives others. It doesn't enlighten them. It deceives them. It places them more in darkness. It places them more in the place of being outside of what would be called wisdom. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 16, which is wisdom literature, and tells us who the wise are and who are the foolish. Proverbs 4:16 describes the wicked this way. They do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. The wicked are even given by the Holy Spirit, by inspiration. The wicked cannot even rest in sleep, not the lack of rest or peace they can ever have, but they can't even sleep unless they've done something wrong. There is a stirring in them, according to Proverbs chapter 4 here, that they're not happy. They're not at rest. They're not able to sleep unless they've done something evil. They've missed an opportunity, maybe. They've not lived the day to the fullest, possibly, until they've done evil. And their sleep is taken away, not just to themselves, but their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. Have you ever wondered why some people are on such a crusade about certain things? I mean, there are people on crusades about everything that just are a bunch of nothing. And so they are just driven by things that we wonder why anyone would ever be driven about. And this, of course, the gay marriage thing, we just had the Supreme Court make a decision about that. There have been people who have been fighting for that for years and years and years and years and years. And it's a crusade, and they just feel like they are driven, and what they sought, but actually this week was granted to them. That a sin which... the Bible says people cannot do and go to heaven. Being those things, and you know where the verses are, Galatians and such. That is good and right. So that they're not loving people by declaring this. They're making them fall. And this is exactly what the world delights in doing. The wicked delight in other people falling with them. However, that does not mean the fact that the wicked cannot rest. It does not mean that they don't try to rest, because they do. They try to rest. They try to live. They try to be right. They try to be satisfied. They try to have all their actions redefined as loving and right and contributing to the welfare of others. We have redefined love as hate and hate as love in our day. You hate when you follow the Scriptures. You love when you abandon the Scriptures. This is exactly the law of the land. The eyes of much of the world are upon these people as they seek to accomplish whatever it is they're trying to accomplish. Hollywood actors and actresses are often some of the, you know, most messed up people. And yet, they're adored by millions. And the Supreme Court justices, they had all kinds of attention this past week. The SCOTUS blog was going crazy on the internet, and people, all the reporters just waiting for their decision. I mean, it's got to be a heady thing. that people are looking at, and also to politicians and to activists. We need to find out what these people think and what they're going to say. And they wage this never-ending campaign to make the world better according to their own vision. And they never rest. Because, you know, so I even saw an article that now that the gay lobby has gotten the marriage thing, that some people are worried because they don't have anything to do now. There's not something else to do. There's not something else out there that they've been fighting for, and it may make them aimless for a while. But usually, I believe this, that if you gain something as a wicked person, a wicked thing, then there's something else you've got to have, or you can't survive. So I expect they'll move from one evil to the next without even resting in this accomplishment for very long. The Christian, although the world doesn't rest, must become an expert in resting. There's a huge difference between a Christian and a wicked person. Not because we're not basically wicked ourselves, because we are. But because having been reconciled to God and having gained a knowledge of God, we can rest. Unless we allow our minds to be burdened by all the events of the world, and peace eludes us. Christians, from what happened this week, can be upended by bad news. We can get all down about it. We can see the tone of the world, you know, and some of us have lived in times in this country where there was, if not godliness, at least less wickedness. And we rejoice. I mean, I look back in my life, and there were times, I was thinking about this since the Supreme Court decision. The same Constitution's been around for all these couple hundred years. And all the states knew about it, and there were all these state laws and such. And imagine this, the marvel of this. Only in our present day have we gained enough wisdom to make a right decision about gay marriage. It's just come upon us in 2015. And that's what Justice Kennedy said. I read some portions of his decision. That's what Justice Kennedy said in his decision written for the majority of the court. Is that although 20 or 30 years ago and beyond that, the prevalent view was that this was not compatible with the Constitution and with the good of society, we've now come to a point where we see that it is. And so it is proper to make it legal now. I mean, you can't hardly make it up unless you're a good fiction writer. The same Constitution has been given the right of abortion. It's not in there anywhere. And many other things, but now gay marriage. And this is considered by the Supreme Court majority to be the proper thing to do. Now, we're to be salt and light. But for a Christian, to be on a constant campaign like the wicked to fix everything and to turn everything the way we want it to be is not a proper way. Now, of course, we want to be effective in this world, and we want to be diligent, and we want to be active in causes if they are biblical. But there are some people who want to fix everything the same way that the wicked want to fix everything. And there's no rest. For example, we get the decision this week, and oh, what are we going to do? Well, I know what we'll do. We'll march on Washington. I'm not necessarily saying that's a bad thing. But there are a lot of things, and a lot of things that I'm really more concerned about the peace in our hearts is that we can get so upset about this that we are on a campaign like the world and the wicked are on a campaign instead of being on a desire to bring righteousness, being salt and being light, and yet resting in the rule of God. Because you see, the wicked cannot rest. The wicked don't believe in God's sovereignty, but we do. And so we don't have peace in the Lord and rest in the Lord in the midst of all these things. We're no better than the wicked who cannot rest. So although we are laboring to be salt and laboring to be light and laboring to make a change and laboring to win the world, it is not with the same frenzy of we've got to change everything and change everybody. You know, that can go all crazy. Do you know of anything that's wrong anywhere in the world right now? Know any denominations that are off? Know any churches that are off? Know any, you know, movements that are off? You could spend the rest of your life trying to fix all those little things when it's not your place. Now, Ecclesiastes encourages us to the place of rest. The tone of Ecclesiastes is that the world likes to think of itself as a closed system. And that is that we are self-sufficient as a world to gain whatever happiness and to solve all problems that are presented in the world. This is the way the world acts. When you hear people talk about problems, when you hear politicians talk about fixing problems, it is all a closed system. And that although God may be mentioned sometime as just to drop a name, there is no active trust in God and pursuit of His will. You hear God blamed for everything from people. You know, and there'll be a lot of people thanking God for what happened this past week, and God had nothing to do with that. In the sense of enabling that by His blessing. And so, all the woes of men, we feel, in a closed system we can solve. And God is not needed or believed in, and all His claims to His might and power and sovereignty don't coexist within a closed system. We don't need God's miracles. We don't need God's intervention. That's the nature of the attitude of the world. In short, men don't mind being alienated from God. Men are not upset about being under the judgment of God. There's just no concern to the modern man. It does not curb his optimism being alienated from God. It does not temper his attitude or stop his agenda. He just does not care. But Solomon in Ecclesiastes says that instead of the world being a closed system able to accomplish meaning, the very first chapter, the second verse, the theme of Ecclesiastes, vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. His sermon is on the vanity of the world. Vanity means empty. Rather than being meaningful, rather than being able to do whatever we need to fix whatever problem and to make us all happy, it is a place that cannot happen in and of itself. Everything is vain. There's nothing in the world by itself to provide meaning. Without God, the world does not have any meaning and any satisfaction and any rest. The world is not going to take away the guilt of sin. The world is not going to take away the wickedness, the wicked's lack of peace. It cannot do that. It cannot do any of those things. You can't violate God's laws like the world thinks it can do and have happiness. It can't violate God's order of society. I mean, here we have this week, the Supreme Court has said that all kinds of same-sex unions are not just constitutional, but right and good. If you'd have stepped back 40, 50 years, not even that long probably, they'd have taken all five of those justices out somewhere and putting tar on them and throwing some feathers on them and railed them right out of town. It's not the Constitution. It's the decay of society that we're facing. And the belief is we're better today. We have a better day today because of this. But instead, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Calling God's laws outdated and hateful is what people do. And they claim to be wiser today, more loving today. We're more sensitive today. See how sensitive people are today. How more loving they are today when they hear a preacher preaching against the decision. Then they're not loving. They're loving to the ones who agree with them. By divine inspiration, Solomon states that the world does not have any meaning in and of itself. All who have just the world have no meaning. So the proper way to see the world is not self-sufficient, a place where happiness and peace is possible, but rather it's an empty place without being governed by God. We've seen that. Our forefathers even warned us of this. If you take the Bible out of the Constitution, you've got a bad thing. It can become a document to support anything, and it has. And all the accomplishments of mankind are vain and empty and meaningless without God. We got computers these days. We got phones we carry around with us everywhere, all kinds of technology. Without God, nothing matters about that. Jesus said, if you gain the whole world and lose your soul, you've gained nothing and lost everything. And yet it feels right. You know, the progress that's made one way is usually corruption the other way. And so the tone of Ecclesiastes is that there's no meaning without God. That will never be changed. There's no Supreme Court justice who can say, although they say it, who can say that God's laws actually are worse for humanity. It's never going to be. They're frustrated, been frustrated for so long by people who hold to the Word of God instead of the new changing morality, but it's just a matter of reality. You cannot change these things. Secondly, the design of Ecclesiastes about life in this world. Ecclesiastes is laid out in a way that communicates vanity to the world. And, you know, we went through Ecclesiastes a long time ago. On a Sunday morning. But there's design here. And in this chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes, you see in the beginning there, verse 1, to everything there's a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, time to be born, time to die, time to plant, time to pluck what is planting or harvest, time to kill, time to heal, time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, time to gain, time to lose, time to keep, time to throw away, time to tear, time to sow, time to keep silence, time to speak, time to love, time to hate, time of war, time of peace. That's the world. There are various things at various times that are appropriate at various places. And all that is the design of God. But, verse 9, what profit has the worker from that in which he labors? In all of those things, it's just like a circle. Okay, it's time to do this, time to do that. Now it's time to do it again, time to do it. It's circuitous, and it doesn't accomplish anything. Verse 10, I've seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He's made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he's put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. They're just, in the world itself, no way to have it all come together and make sense in a progressive way. And so Solomon says a number of times in the book, rather than the world, verse 12, Ecclesiastes 3, I know that there is nothing better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is a gift of God. So there is a peace there. There is a rest there. And it's because of God. And while the world is turning away with a time for this and a time for that, the believer lives in the same world, but can rest because of the fact that he knows God. Eat and drink, do your labor. The world's design is that men rest in God's eternal plan and to fear him. Verse 14, I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it, nothing taken from it. God does it that men should fear before him. That which is has already been, that and what is to be has already been, and God requires an account of what is past. So God is the one who makes all the things make sense. That gets to our passage. To rest in God as it pertains to injustice. Now again, there are things that we as voters, Christians, can do and fight evil in this world. We don't ever surrender to it. And when I say rest in this context, I mean in our souls. Whatever we do, I mean, there are things that we are given to do, and there are things that we are not given to do. And we will not have peace if we're doing the things that we are not given to do, and if we're thinking in a wrong way in the things that we are given to do. Verse 16, Solomon says, I saw under the sun, in the place of justice it should be, better, wickedness was there. Can you imagine that? In the place of justice, wickedness was there. In the place of righteousness, iniquity, wickedness was there. In the place where there should have been justice and righteousness, there was wickedness. It's precisely what happened this week with the Supreme Court. And people have hope. I guess everybody has hope. There are four votes on the Supreme Court that are always going to go the same way against whatever, something like this. Or four in this case, the liberals. You got a couple of swing voters, the Chief Justice and Justice Kennedy. Then you got the three other guys who are going to go that way pretty much all the time. And we sit and watch these people. And find out what they're going to say. And so we expected justice. We expected God's design to be upheld. That's their job. We expected that the laws of God would be adhered to as the foundation of all of our laws. Because, you know, we're always fussing about the ISIS terrorists and the Islamic law and Sharia law, and how it is based upon Muhammad and Muslim Islam laws. And what a terrible place we say that is. And our laws are based on Judeo-Christian laws. And when we get away from that, we're getting away from God's design and plan. And that's what happened this week. We expect a decision to be made based upon the law of God at the foundation, the Constitution as coming out of that. But first, the Constitution was gutted of the law of God as a foundation. That was done a while back. And now the Constitution is gutted even of the words of the Constitution. For many years now, the Supreme Court has been putting words into the Constitution or popping some out as their whim determined. And so we've seen in the place of justice, there's injustice. But notice what Solomon says then in verse 17. I said in my heart, Now, here's the great thing. I said in my heart, God will judge the righteous and the wicked, for there shall be a time there for every purpose and for every work. Solomon went to the foundation. Now, again, I'm not saying we've sinned if we're upset about the decision. Surely we are upset about these things that are against the Word of God. And society being so celebratory about forsaking the law of God. But first thing Solomon did was say that God would take care of all this. God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there shall be a time there for every purpose, for every work. You think at the judgment there'll be a Supreme Court over there? Do you think there'll be nine men on the Supreme Court and God will sit over here on the throne and just wait for their decision? Let's see what they say. See what they determine, and then I'll speak about it. They'll be in the mass of humanity that Solomon mentions here that God will judge the righteous and the wicked. That is all there is. There are those who are righteous by grace, and there are those who are wicked by works and have never been forgiven or cleansed of their sin. And there will be a time when that comes. And really, thinking about it, when we see that there will be a time, it's not yet, but the thought there is in the teaching is that God is going on with his calendar the same way now than he was last Sunday. This stuff that happened this week, as far as God carrying things out, makes no difference. The time is still appointed and the time will come. There's an active striving in the world against God right now. And the Christian strives to maintain righteousness as much as we can. But this verse is to cause us to rest. One of the lessons you have to learn as a Christian, or you'll be miserable and trying to fix everything yourself and being all upset all the time, is leave it to God. There are things that are in the realm of God, as far as the rest of your soul goes, you got to leave it to God or you won't be able to survive. You don't have to watch the news. That might help some too. And you don't have to hear, a speech if you don't want to. That would help you. I'm all into that. I doubt I've heard 10 straight words from a politician in 7 years. And it's been better for my soul. But there's just an attitude among men that we've gotten greater. We've gotten smarter. But notice what the lesson is, verse 18. I said in my heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, God tests them that they may see that they are wise and... Whoa, wait a minute. That they themselves are like beasts. I don't know. That doesn't sound like a compliment. Because we're just the same in some ways with beasts. Verse 19, for what happens to the sons of men also happens to beasts. One thing befalls them, as one dies, so dies the other. Sure, they all have one breath. Man has no advantage over beast, for all is vanity. Now, in the world, this is what he's saying. Men, for all the image of God that's in us and the brain we've been given, there's no meaning in that apart from God. We get nothing from that. We die, beasts die. Same thing. Now, as important as we are, it looks like we would, instead of dying, we would just be, light would show up in the skies, a beam of light come down, we just, like that. Same thing. Same breath. One breath. We all have life. We all have similar organs. We're the laws of life and death govern us. just like the beasts. Verse 20, all go to one place. Where's that place? All are from the dust, and all return to dust. We die and go to the ground just like a beast. And our spirit, it has a little bit of a difference, but not to our advantage necessarily. Who knows the spirit of the sons of men which goes upward and the spirit of the beast which goes down to the earth? I take that not as some statement about the soul of a beast, the spirit of a beast, but that the soul of man rises up to judgment, and the soul of the beast is not judged by God. If you think about it, who's doing the evil? How many puppies were on the Supreme Court this week? I didn't see any. I see a bunch of cats up there deciding that gay marriage was a constitutional issue. Did you? I've never heard of robbery of a bank. A giraffe stuck his head through there and just got all the money and took off. Never hear it. I mean, beasts can do some bad things to people. You get in their way, it gets kind of to be a problem. They're sometimes wild, but they're not immoral. They're not violating the laws of God. We go to face God. A beast dies, there's no judgment of that. So, but in essence, we're beasts. We're the same. So what is all this heady pride stuff we have? God has ordered the world in such a way that we see that we're just the same in our breath, in our life, in our death, and where we go. But our spirit goes upward. Verse 22. The best thing, I perceive that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his heritage, for who can bring him to see what will happen after him? Again, this brings rest. Rejoice in your own works. You got to be careful. I know there are people who are so upset about this. And again, it is terrible what's happened this past week. Terrible. Here's the thing. We just don't know what God's going to do. And we cannot look at it as though God is off the throne. Because as verse 22 says, who can bring him to see what will happen after him? What we have to do is do what we know we're supposed to do, rejoice in our own works, and then leave it to God. God will deal with all the issues of injustice, and we don't have to be unsettled by the world, even though it is a concern to us. Psalm 46:10, let me end with that. And this is, again, what God's people must anchor themselves in. Not that we're not going to seek and strive and pray and hope that these things get turned around somehow. But, I mean, if we're hoping in men to do it, we are really mistaken. Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Let's all stand.